Ben Bernanke talks jobs and stimulus before Congress.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke continues his testimony at this hour, telling the House Financial Services Committee that the Fed stands at the ready if the lackluster economy and the economic recovery gets worse.
Given the range of uncertainties about the strength of the recovery and prospects for inflation over the medium term, the Federal Reserve remains prepared to respond should economic developments indicate that an adjustment in the stance of monetary policy would be appropriate.
From Washington, Marketplace's David Gura reports so far the Fed has already had to throw a lot of water on a very stubborn economic fire.
Last month, Fed officials argued over whether or not they should buy more U.S. bonds, IOUs basically, from the U.S. government. They've cycled through this program twice now, theoretically trading bonds for cash, injecting dollar bills into the U.S. economy. The Fed has two big mandates, two objectives, to keep inflation down and to keep unemployment low. Kevin Jakes, a finance professor at Baldwin Wallace College in Ohio, says the central bank also has another responsibility.
The Federal Reserve is the organization inside the U.S. government which is trying to make sure that financial markets are operating in a stable fashion.
In other words, it's the lender of last resort, a role it was forced to embrace during the financial crisis as it tried to keep the whole financial system from falling apart. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The markets seem to like what the Fed chair has been saying on Capitol Hill so far. The Dow is up about 1%, 133 points at 12,580. The NASDAQ and the S&P both up about 1% or more. Under pressure from all sides, Rupert Murdoch today abandoned one of the biggest business deals of his career, buying the largest TV broadcaster in the UK. Video game publisher Electronic Arts says it's going to buy PopCap Games in a $1.3 billion deal. EA is looking to broaden its market in another type of gaming experience. And Marketplace Tech Report host John Moe is with us live to talk about that aspect of it. Good morning, John.
Hey, Steve.
What does PopCap have that EA Games wants?
Well, it's got a lot of cool games. The games that they make are pretty popular, pretty fun. They have Bejeweled. They have Plants vs. Zombies. They're pretty well regarded for making good stuff. And EA specializes in the console games, the big ticket items like the Madden series, the hardcore gamers like. PopCap makes more casual games, things that you could buy for a dollar or two, play them on your phones. And so you have companies that can pool their talents. And now EA is better prepared to battle the growing power of Zynga. That's the casual game maker that does Farmville and Cityville. But really, I think this is just how, like, the Gap has both Banana Republic and Old Navy. It has high end and low end. And So EA is covered.
What does this say, John, about the gaming industry and for traditional game makers?
Well, here's what it comes down to. We're either seeing a shift or an expansion. Casual games are blowing up. Angry Birds, for instance, which isn't a PopCap game but is a very popular casual game, has been downloaded 250 million times. Zynga is blowing up with its game, and these games are cheap. They're easy to figure out how to play. They're easy to have fun with. Console games aren't growing nearly as fast, so either people are leaving the console and moving towards the casual, the things they could do on their phones, or the gaming world is expanding. We've been hearing about this for a long time, how soon, you know, everybody's mom will be playing games too.
Yeah.
And it seems like Electronic Arts just wanted to be ready for either scenario.
Marketplace Tech Report host John Moe. John, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
In Arizona, the Mesa City Council is about to pass an ordinance requiring convenience store owners to ratchet up security. Bad news for thieves, but as market as Peter O'Dowd from station KJZZ in Phoenix reports, the business community doesn't like it either.
Consider Michael Rahal one of those concerned business owners.
Thanks once more.
Okay.
Have a good weekend, Chuck.
You're welcome.
Rahal runs Fiesta Liquors in Mesa. His customers buy milk, candy, and tortillas, and of course he sells all sorts of alcohol. The new law would require some stores to clear their windows so police officers can see inside. For Rahal, that would mean taking down row after row of whiskey and vodka bottles stacked against the glass.
Where do we put it? If we lose half of their inventory, our inventory, then we might as well close our doors.
The truth is, Fiesta Liquors probably won't have to worry. The ordinance applies to stores with an average of 30 police calls a year. Rahal says he rarely calls the cops. It's more likely to affect big chains like Circle K, 7-Eleven, and Quick Trip. About 40 of those stores in Mesa meet the threshold. Those in question may have to add more cameras, trim overgrown bushes, or install lighting around a dumpster.
Well, it's going to certainly cost them some money, but on the other hand, they have a crime problem.
Scott Summers is Mesa's vice mayor. He says some stores that logged more than 200 police calls a year were literally right next door to comparable stores that hardly ever called police.
That was what was fascinating about it. It really does come down to how the stores are operated and the type of environment they have around them, how they're designed.
Summers says the city has tried for almost 3 years to pass this law. Tim McCabe is a big reason it's taken so long. He's the president of the Arizona Food Marketing Alliance. The group loudly criticized an early version that applied to all 150 or so convenience stores in the city of Mesa. McCabe says this new law would be better, but he still doesn't like the idea of regulating stores that are struggling in this economy.
What does one city ordinance lead to? What's next?
The city council could vote as early as Thursday. Both sides expect the ordinance to pass. In Mesa, Arizona, I'm Peter O'Dowd for Marketplace.
And finally, consultant firm The Mercer Group's come up with a list of the most expensive cities in the world to live. Not New York or London or even L.A. It's Luanda, Angola, where an average two-bedroom apartment goes for the low price of $7,000 a month. Unfurnished, of course. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The economic story of China the past 20 years is growth, right? But if you look real close, there's this sneaking feeling there that any given moment, it can all go poof.
People who have been doing extremely well, who've got themselves a nice little apartment, who've got themselves a nice car, suddenly wake up tomorrow and their mum's had a stroke. There is no net.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What happens when? That's on our series, The 5-Year Plan, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.